Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
You miss out on what Yahweh wants to teach us. He talks about, in these two verses, talks about the journey of the children of Israel after they had left Mizraim, which we call Egypt today, their journey through what is called the Bamedbar, or the desert, or the wilderness. And they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Coming from Mizraim to the promised land was only a few weeks' trip. But because they did not understand what Yahweh was communicating to them and what he expected out of them after they had heard what he communicated, they spent 40 years on a few weeks' journey. The Bible said that the Old Testament is written for our learning and our understanding, that we should not fall after the same example of unbelief. So in reading this, it has a message to us today. And so it seems that what Yahweh was communicated to them, he says, you've got to keep your eye on me. Huh? So the cloud was the presence of Yahweh. And when the cloud stopped, they had to stop. But if they didn't keep their eye on the cloud, they would be still moving when the cloud had stopped. And they would be in trouble. So when the cloud stopped, they stopped. When the cloud abode, they set up their tent. And when the cloud moved, they were to move. But they could not do that except they kept their eye and their attention on the cloud. What is God trying to communicate to us? He's trying to communicate to us that he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us, but we have to know that and keep our attention focused on him. We get in trouble when we start focusing on ourselves. It's me, what I want, what I want to do. See, the Bible said we ought to be slow to speak. Give ourselves time to understand, wait a minute, before I say something, I ought to look to the cloud. I ought to focus myself on Yahweh, and he'll tell me what to say and how to act. And so here, the example of Yahweh's intention that his people be led and guided by him is here in this scripture. If I don't move, you don't move. When I move, no matter what time of night it was, you got to move. You got to keep your eye on me. Now, we can't see God today, but we got the Holy Spirit. And so we got to always be cognizant of what the Spirit of God is doing and what the Spirit of God is saying to us. But you won't know if your attention is not on being wanting to know what the Spirit of Yahweh is saying. How he is what? Guiding us. Now, let's look at, because we haven't done that, and they didn't do that, there are things that men do, and when I say man, I'm talking about women too, mankind. Adam, which represents men and women, is humankind. What they do when they don't keep focus on the Spirit of Yahweh. On Yahweh, as these people, they did not have the Holy Ghost. So they needed some physical that they could see. And that was the cloud. And so the cloud was wherever the cloud, they could see the cloud no matter whether it was night or day. Because the cloud was a pillar of fire by night. And it was a cloud by day. And so they could see the cloud and understand where God was going. Or where he was not going. Now watch. Let's look at Jeremiah 2. You call it Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people, look at your neighbor and say, we are the people of Yahweh. So he's talking to us. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now, if you don't know what cisterns is, it was a container that they put water in. And you could keep the water, you know, overnight. You keep the water a week. I was in Jamaica and up in the mountains and for a fellowship many years ago. And they didn't have running water, but they had cisterns that they had built that could hold the rainwater. And that was the water that they used for everything. That's what he's talking about here. But not only did they have cisterns, they had hewn themselves out cisterns, but the cisterns that they had hewed themselves out had cracks in it. And therefore, it could not what? Hold water. He says, so my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Think about that. They had the fountain of life, of living water. And sort of keep in your mind that many times the Bible is talking, when you talk about water, it's talking about the Holy Spirit also. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they have made them containers or cisterns. But even the containers they made has cracks in it. Broken, so we could hold no water. So the idea here is they left the living water. They tried to catch water somewhere else, but it didn't work for them. What are you saying, Pastor? When people don't do what Yahweh desires them to do, they try to make substitute for God and say, I'm still serving God. Are you getting it? Today, most of the church world has left the concepts of following this God. And when you say following Yahweh, you're talking about the Spirit. There is no person physically that you can see when you talk about Yahweh. We're talking about the Spirit of Yahweh. So when they leave, or they never have had the concept of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, they manufacture things in the church that they say is Spirit. But the things that they manufacture is not Spirit, so it cannot produce what Spirit would have produced in their life. So some churches, they make some kind of dance to Spirit. At the beginning of the service, they all come down and they dance. Now that's supposed to be the Spirit. It's okay to dance in the Spirit, but the dance is not the Spirit. But when you are not in tune to the Spirit and you still want to be so-called Christian, you manufacture things that you say is Spirit. And so they holler loud sometimes, and the preacher run across the roster. They jump in the air, and that's Spirit. Sometimes they create some kind of doctrine that they say is Spirit. And sometimes they think noise is Spirit. I was listening to the band this morning. I realized the band is not Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about the band. I'm trying to say this. Music is not Spirit. That don't mean that music can't be spiritual, but the music itself is not the Spirit. Are you getting it? Without the Spirit, the music is music. You can get the same effect out in the world. Listen to music, because sometimes you listen to music in the world and your feet start tapping. Am I right or wrong? Amen. And you can get a good feeling. I remember I used to love Ray Charles. And I'd be riding along and I'd say, Georgia, Georgia. And I'd get a good feeling. So we have associated sometimes feelings, good feelings, with Spirit. And so all God is saying, most of the time when men are not doing the spiritual thing, they will manufacture things that they say is Spirit. And so they can say, I don't care what you say. God blessed me yesterday. Oh, I had a good time. Well, I've had a good time on the dance floor. How many of you had a good time on the dance floor? Amen. Don't raise your hand. I know you. But you know, we used to dance before we get in the group. And you know, when they had the cha-cha music, you know, we get in there and dance, the whole group, man. And you feel good. Of course, you needed a little extra, something, you know, to kind of kick it up a notch. But we have to understand that only Yahweh is Spirit, and that's it. So that's why Yeshua said to the woman at the well, he said to her, the time is coming when you won't serve me in the mountain and you won't serve me in Jerusalem, because Yahweh is Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in Spirit and in Emet, in the truth, in Word. And even today, we have lost the concept of being guided in the Spirit. You don't know the height of true exhilaration until you have been in the Spirit, and the Spirit has taken you to that place wherever the Spirit wanted you to be. And you, the fulfillment is out of sight. Amen. The stuff we do cannot measure up to that. Now, I'm not criticizing this. What I'm trying to say, we need to become cognizant of the Spirit. And whatever we are doing, we are open and desiring to hear from the Spirit. Right? Whatever it is we're doing, we're desiring. You can't be spiritual, and as soon as the preaching come on, you pack up your stuff and leave. And I'm not trying to talk about it, no, but I'm just telling the truth. Amen. You don't run out. Now, where are you now? The only way you can be spirit, Yeshua says, sanctify them in Johannes 17. Sanctify them through thy what? Truth. Thy word is truth. And when somebody don't want to hear the word, they can't be spiritual. They can't be sanctified. They can't be set aside for the use of Yahweh. Amen. You can't be guided by the Spirit if you don't pray. Amen. How can you be guided by the Spirit if you can't get down on your knees sometime and try to communicate with Him? Amen. It's not what? You can't be spiritual if you don't get into the Bible studies and learn something about Spirit. But you got people singing in the choir but won't come to Bible study. They're ushering and won't come to Bible study. Deaconing and won't come to Bible study. So they have to manufacture their spirituality. Because it's not real. See, when you are open to God, you want to pray. Huh? What does the word of Yahweh say? Men and women should always what? Pray and not faint. Huh? When you open, you want to be in the study of His word. You want to hear what thus said Yahweh. Amen. So, Yirmiyahu said, my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken the fountain of living water. And they have hewn a molded cistern that can hold no water. As we're starting in 2014, I want everybody to get into this concept. That I want to know what the Spirit is doing. I want to be open in services, in my own life, every day. I want to be open to what the Spirit is doing. The Spirit don't care about sex. Amen. So I should get an amen. I mean, I know y'all don't think so. Amen. The Spirit, you say, I can't help myself, but the Spirit can fix you. Amen. Saul said, some men are made eunuchs by God. God fixed them. And some are made eunuchs by man. Man fixed them. And some men make themselves you. They say, I'm going to stay pure. I'm going to stay clean. No matter what. If I never have an intimate relationship with a woman for the rest of my life, that's okay. I'm going to be clean for God. The Spirit cares about the things of Yahweh and not about the things of the world. Now, if you notice, when the clouds stop, they stop. That don't mean they didn't go and do all their work and feed their cattle and live their lives. But even in doing that, they kept their eyes on the clouds. Is the clown still there? Yes, sir. Let's feed the hogs. No, not the hogs. These are Hebrews. But what is what Yahweh was saying? Your attention should always be on me. I don't mind you living your life. Living a life, a good life. But I don't mind you making a lot of money. I don't mind you working. I don't mind you doing your duty, but as you are doing all of this, keep your heart on me. Right? Go in and live your life. Make a little money. Go on vacation, but keep your heart work. Amen. One of the greatest revelations that I received is when I was on vacation. I received a revelation of the book I wrote of Pre-Wide for Yahweh on vacation. Because even on vacation, I kept my heart open to what Yahweh wanted to say to me. Now we're going to explore one of the most difficult books to understand today, because this was not my message. This was a precursor to my message. But today, for a little while, we're going to explore one of the most difficult books to understand. And that book is Yehezkel. You all know what that book is, right? Then let's go to Yehezkel 47. You call that what? Ezekiel. Now, before I get into the part that I'm going to, the scripture that I'm going to actually zero in on today, I just want to talk a little bit about the book of Yehezkel. Yehezkel is the man that saw a vision for many generations to come. But he communicated it in such a way that most people would say it's hard to understand. So I just want to, you can stay where you are in the 47, I just want to read the first verse of the first chapter of Yehezkel, just to put you in position where he was. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives at the river of Hebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw a vision of Yahweh. So this man begins it with the heavens being open, and he saw a vision of Yahweh. And Yahweh will personally talk to Yehezkel, as he will personally talk to you if you're open for him to do so. It was no accident that Yehezkel saw the vision of Yahweh because he was open to hear what Yahweh had to say. Because the people of Yahweh was in captivity. There had to be a reason. When Yahweh's people lose, there's a reason, a spiritual reason, that they have lost. God's people win all the time if they are walking properly and listening properly to him. In fact, Shaul said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And when things seem to be a failure to God's people, he'll turn it around and make it a blessing. Because Yahweh's people are always winners. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we are winners. Let me tell you, when you start losing, something's wrong. Amen. Amen. So he is there at the river Heva. The reason I say Heva, you say Heva, but the sea is not pronounced. He was at the river Heva. And the heavens opened. And he found himself in this vision. A vision that he could actually participate in and walk in and see what was going on or what Yahweh was saying. And so he will say throughout this scripture, I saw something. And then he will go on to say, and this man led me. He took me somewhere. But he's not talking about a real man. He's talking really about Yahweh, because the whole thing was about Yahweh. And so he has this vision. Yahweh led him along, told him about what's going to happen, and told him about how what's going to happen to the nation, told him about what's going to happen to the enemy. Told him about everything like that. And then he showed him this vision, and he described it in the end as a wheel in the middle of a wheel, which becomes difficult to understand. But in the end, he said, it was a vision of Yahweh. Now, one thing unique in this vision, when he saw these four faces on these four what the English text call living creatures, as if they are some dogs or cats or some kind of beast, but the Hebrew do not say living creatures, it says life form. He saw these four life forms. And he saw each one of them had a face of a man, a face of an eagle, a face of an ox, and the face of a lion. What he showed Yahezkel was generally his creation. Mankind, the eagle representing birds and reptiles, the ox representing the herbivorous animal, the animals who eat leaves and grass, and the lion, the carnivorous animal. But one thing unique about it, he talked about these life forms moving and running to and fro and running back. And he said, whatever they did it because the Spirit of Yahweh caused them to do it. So this whole thing was about the Spirit of Yahweh moving in His creation. And the interaction of man and beast within the creative scheme of God. But everything was told to work as the Spirit told it to work. And everything do work as the Spirit tells it to work except man. We're the only one that's out of sync. But in the end, He said, it was the Spirit of God. They moved when the Spirit told them. They came and went when the Spirit told them to come and to go. Everything acted in accordance with the Spirit of Yahweh. Then this man, he says, but which it is not a man, but that's how he described it, came to him. And this man is going to show him something in the end about what Yahweh would like to do. And so let's look at Yehezkel 47. And look, I'm not preaching today to make you happy. I'm preaching today to make you wise unto the things of Yahweh. Let me ask the question. How many of you pray every day? I haven't finished yet. That Yahweh would give you wisdom. Every day. That Yahweh would give you wisdom. If you do, your actions should be different than what they normally would be. Because if Yahweh gives you wisdom, that is that you would know the results of your actions and not do some things and say some things because you know in wisdom that it's not going to turn out right if you do or say those things. Amen? So this man, but really he's talking about the Spirit, began to show him something. And let's start, if we would, in the second verse of the 47th chapter of Yehezkel. Then bought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out water on the right side. So the man took him to the water. And remember, Yahweh said that my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of what? Did you forget? Of living what? Water. And water, many times in Scripture, represents the Holy Spirit. Yeshua said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly or innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Jeremiah says, my people have forsaken the fountain of living water. Yeshua said, if they believe on me, as the Scripture has said, out of their bellies shall flow, out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And here, Yirmiyahu is taken to the water. It's living water because it's what? Running water. I might be getting too deep for you, but pray for wisdom. Amen. Pray for wisdom. I can't. You know, that's just so basic that you can get. Then you can't get any more basic, right? Amen. So pray for wisdom. Shaul said to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Spirit will give you what? The Lord will give you what? Understanding. So he took him to the water, third verse. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the water to my hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits. So what we are looking at is a time span. The man took me to the water, and then he measured out 1,000 cubits. And a cubic is anywhere from 20 inches to 22 inches in American measurement or in English measurement. And he said, when he measured out 1,000, he took me into the water that was ankle deep. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want Yahweh to take me to the water. Take me to the water. He's not going to drown me. He's going to teach me something. He's going to take me step by step in my walk with him in a time span. He's going to take me a little farther in the water. Hallelujah. You got to start somewhere, people, listening to the of being moving in the Holy Spirit. Okay, he don't expect you to do it all right away, but at least get out in the water. It might only come up to your ankles, but get used to being in the water. And so he said, he measured 1,000, and it came to my ankle. Fourth verse. And again he measured 1,000 cubits, and the water was up to me. Hallelujah! If you don't get in the ankle deep water, you will never get in the knee deep water. Hey, but you got to start somewhere. Start today, God. I want to be in the water. I want to start in the Spirit. I don't know how I should operate totally, but you're going to take me along in a certain time span. First, he took him to the ankle-deep water and let him run in that water. Then he measured 1,000 cubits, representing the time span. And that's how God treated him. Then he takes us out a little far. And he took him out a little farther, and the water was up to his knees. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be in some knee-deep water? Hallelujah. You know, you can't learn how to swim until you get in deep enough water. You can't learn how to swim in ankle-deep water. Right? You can't learn how to swim in a bathtub. So the water came up to the knee. Hallelujah. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water to the loins. The loins is right up here between the hips and the first a rib cage. That's shalom. Now, look. God is, the Spirit of God is leading this man through spiritual waters. He started him at the beginning, knee-deep water. I mean, ankle-deep water. And if you're not willing to get into ankle-deep water, you'll never get into knee-deep water. But he brought him into knee-deep water. See, he's talking about moving in the Spirit. God don't expect you to just do it all at once and you know all at once where to go. But if you let him, he'll take you. And then into his loins, eyes up about waist deep. Well, you've got to swim in waist deep water. Afterward, fifth verse, he measured 1,000. And it was a river. Hallelujah. Yahweh wants to bring us into spiritual power, into spiritual knowledge. But he understands we are human beings and we can't start out in the river. We got to start out at the bank where the water is ankle deep. And then if you keep on going on with the Spirit of Yahweh, you'll find yourself in knee deep. Now remember, this water represents the Spirit of Yahweh. You'll find yourself in knee deep. And if you're still moving in the Spirit of God, you'll find the water come up around your loins, above your loins. Then if you go on with Yahweh, rivers that cannot be crossed over. You can swim in it all day long and you're still in the water. This is not talking about water you can drown in, my brothers and sisters. This is talking about spiritual water. I want to be out in the rivers of spiritual water. I want to be led by the Spirit into that spiritual dimension that is called rivers water. But in order for that to happen, I've got to make my commitment. I've got to make my commitment to Yahweh, to Yeshua in Yahweh, and I've got to make my commitment to be led, guided, aflow in the Holy Spirit. It's up to each one of us. Yehezkel could have turned back anytime he got ready. Huh? But he was being led by the Spirit of God. One day, if we make up our mind, there will be so much glory in this church that folks who come in here will not be able to stand on their feet. They will be slain in the Spirit at the door, speaking in tongues. Because the people is in the flow. You can't get in the flow of the Spirit and in the waters of the Spirit if you're operating in your natural mind all the time and all you can think about is what you want and what you got and what you can't stand and what you got this and that one looked good and that one looked good and... That one made me mad, and I don't like that one, and it's going, and I like that. And, oh, isn't he cool, isn't she? What would you call her? I don't forgot now. Isn't she, what is the word, new word? Foxy? That's old word. Fox, she's a fox. See, that's back there in my time, way back there. That was actually, a dime? A dime? Like a D-I-M-E? That's all she worth is a dime? Look like you would have said she's a dollar. Oh, perfect kid. Oh, I got it. So afterward, the fifth verse, afterward, he measured 1,000 cubits. He measured 1,000. He was talking about cubits, so he don't have to mention that again. And it was a river that could not, that I could not pass over. For the waters was risen, water to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. He's not talking about natural water here. He's talking about spirit. The church world have left the understanding of being guided by the Spirit. And therefore, there's a lot of sin in the church. There's a lot of conflict in the church. Because people are not in the Spirit. The Spirit of God can fix you. The Spirit of God can cause you to love everybody. If you're in the Spirit of Yahweh. And so Yehezkel is taking a spiritual journey in the Spirit. First, the Spirit gets him used to being walking in the Spirit. Take him to ankle deep water, he can still walk. But when he gets to rivers of water, he got to stop walking and start flowing. Going with the, and no matter how far it goes, it's too great for us ever to. You'll never get so spiritual that you don't need to be more spiritual. Until that glorious and wonderful day when we all will be changed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What time is it? I know what time it is. I was just wondering whether you knew what time. I'm not ready to quit yet. You know, that's what Yahweh wants. He wants that for the church. Look at Ephesians 3. And I promise I will not go any further than Ephesians. Ephesians 3, 14. For this cause, y'all see that? For this cause. And he just finished talking about that he has boldness and confidence in God. And so he says, for this cause, Ephesians 3, 14, I bow my knee unto the Father, of whom the whole family, to the Father of our Yahushua Mashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he's giving us a revelation here. First, he can't ask you to do something that's not possible for you to do. You can't go into spiritual waters unless you're in the family. In the spiritual family of Yahweh. Are you getting it? So Shaul would say, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Yahushua Mashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Only those who have the name have the power to go into this spiritual war. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I have the name. Name. See, when you received Yeshua, were baptized into his name was stamped on your soul. And all the spiritual beings know you are called by his name. Amen. When the sons of Sceva was trying to cast out the demons say, Shaul, I know. Yeshua, I know. But I don't know you. You don't have the name. And of course, he jumped on him and skipped him and beat him out the house. That's what the Bible says. See, sometimes we don't realize that spirits are guiding us. There are spirits that causing you to act the way you act if it's outside of the word of Yahweh. Amen. A spirit is talking to you. See, a spirit can get on you and make you think something is beautiful that's not beautiful. A spirit can make you see a woman who is average and make you think she is beautiful and so desirable that you can't help yourself. And then people who are standing on the outside looking at you, trying to understand. Are y'all understanding what I'm talking about? I had a young man that ran a woman down here at the gate. He didn't hit her, but he knocked the gate off. And he was trying to kill her because she wanted to quit it. And they were both in his church. Just her spirit got on. The spirit was on her too. And so he came in to talk to me, and I was talking to him. And he said, Pastor, I'm just overwhelmed. She's so beautiful. Her skin is so beautiful and soft and clear. And I'm sitting there thinking, are we talking about the same woman? Because the woman had pot marks. But a spirit was on him. And he saw what that spirit wanted him to see. Sometimes you will do things with people that you think so great until you do it, and then the spirit jumps back and says, now look what you did. See, we got to be careful that we don't get involved into the bad spirit. Right? If the spirit is another woman's husband, then he ain't looking that good because she's on the verge of getting rid of him. Or another man. I bow my knees unto the, he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Yahushua Mashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and everything. In other words, anybody who is in Yeshua is named Yeshua. And every spiritual being knows that he would grant unto you. Now listen. Shaul is praying. He's recounting the prayer that he prayed for the people in the church. He said that he, that is Yeshua, Yahushua, would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory. See, Yahweh has everything you need. You don't have to go to the world for nothing. And I don't mean work in the world. I mean going to the world for some kind of satisfaction. Yahweh has everything in the spirit that you what? That you need. According to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened, I want to lay on this word. Kata lambino. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. That's the wrong word. Because that word is another word that I haven't gotten to yet. But to be strengthened krateo, that you would be made strong. He says, I am praying that in the spirit you would be made what? Strong. With might. And this might is dunamis. And that's an inherent power to prevail. See, he says, God can make you a winner. And I'm praying that God would strengthen you with might. That power that will cause you to be a winner, cause you to be an overcomer. And there's a reason for that. That's in the spirit. This overcoming is not in the world. There's nothing in the world that will call you to overcome. If you got problems, there's nothing in the world that will make you overcome. It will make you worse. I was talking to somebody today. They said, they got an advertisement on for inflammation, for like arthritis. And they got this stuff that you can take for it. But the disclaimer says, could give you a heart attack. You could get cancer. You could get a stroke. And if your tongue starts swelling and your throat starts swelling, go to a doctor immediately. This could be fatal. The world don't have the answer. They have things that they say is the answer. It looks like the answer. But Yahweh can strengthen you with dunamis, with overcoming power. He says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, the church. I'm praying for each of you that Yahweh would strengthen you with might, dunamis. That you would begin to pray. That we would not just be sitting in church singing songs, but we would be powerful men and women in the spirit. In his spirit, in the what? In the inner man. In the man of the heart. In the spirit man. That you, because it's the spirit man that opens. Not this man. The mind man is not an overcomer. You can make up your mind to do stuff and you think, I made up my mind. How many of you was out there in the world and you made up your mind that you wasn't going to take drugs no more? And you even made New Year's resolution. And you were right back out there taking the drugs. You made up in your mind you wasn't going to see that woman no more, that man no more. How many? Don't raise your hand. I'll just raise my hand for you all. Amen. But you found yourself, what? Right back there again. I remember I'd wake up from a night out. Didn't remember what I did last night. After a certain time, and the fellows come up to me, I was in the service. Said, man, you sure cut up last night. Man, you were up on the bar. I would get so shiny. And I said, I'm not going to drink no more. And as soon as that bell rang for off time, I was in the shower, and I was, the boys come around, hey, man, we going to town. You going? Yes, sir. Let's get out of here. Because I could not overcome. And I never overcame until the Spirit came into my life. Seventeen verse, that Mashiach may dwell in your heart in faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. The word is apprehend. to apprehend. Comprehend has the idea of understanding. This is not the idea of understanding. Apprehend is katalambano in the Greek. It means to take hold of. To take hold of something and possess it. I'm praying that you will take hold of this and possess it for yourself. With all saints. The other word, I want this for whom? All saints. I want this for all saints. You say, well, you know, I don't know whether God can do that for me. Yeah, he said, for who? All saints. Look at your name's neighbor. All saints mean me too. Me too. All saints. Now, here's what he wants you to be able to lay hold of. Here's what he wants you to grab and possess. Is the path. How wide this thing really is. What is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height? He wants you to know what you are in when you are in God. He wants you to experience, to search out the width of it, and the length of it, and how deep it is, and how high it is. Because when you do that, you'll know you won't want anything else but this for the rest of your life. I want you to lay hold of this. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? And to know the love of Messiah. That passeth knowledge, that you may be what? That you may be what? That you may be what? Filled with all the fullness of your life. Don't you want to be filled with fullness? Don't you want to be an overcomer? Don't you want to be one who is victorious all the time? Aren't you tired of being a loser? You say, well, Pastor, ain't no losers church. Yeah, there is. Those who won't get in this the way they're supposed to. Those who can't go through, who won't go through the water ankle deep, and who won't go through the water knee deep, who won't go through the water up to their lawns, and who won't go to the water, rivers of water, spiritual water that they can swim in, that they can play in, that they can rejoice in. I want you to be filled this week with all the fullness. How you do that? Take the little work from your pocket. Bible study should look like Sunday morning. Prayer service should look like Sunday morning. Amen. When I was a young man in the church, for all the time I was not a pastor, which was about 10 years in the church, I could count on one hand the Bible class, the church service, and the prayers that I missed. Lord, I wasn't on vacation. On one hand, 10 years. But I just don't have time to, yes, yeah. You do everything else you want to do. You mean you don't want to make time for it. But I was sitting there in the Bible class because I wanted to know, I wanted to hear. When I was there, I wasn't there to sleep. I wanted to hear from Yahweh. I'm listening and saying, God, speak to me. Speak to me tonight in your Bible class. When I was in Sunday morning service, my eyes are big, man. I was seeing through my, and hearing through my eyes. I wanted to hear all that God had. If you do, you'll become an overcomer.
excuses about I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this. And you got to, y'all understand. But you done had a downfall and went to the Motel 6. You're talking about y'all understand. I'm here to tell you, y'all don't understand. He don't understand. He said, I want you to be able to apprehend. Katalambano. I want you to take hold of this and possess it. That you won't stop along the way, but you'll go into your field with all of the fullness. And when you got that, my friend, your marriages will work. Somebody said, man, you know, people, marriage is not going good. That's because somebody's not out in the water. They're still on the bank. They're not even in anchor deep water. They can't keep their mouth closed. They can't keep their eyes over the focus. Y'all know what I mean? Eyes keep moving where you don't want them to go. God will help us. If we do not do Yahweh's will, and we are the church that is called in his name, Yahweh will have to raise up rocks to do his will. I don't want him to have to raise up a rock in my place. Bow your head. Look, I've been walking this way 40 some years. And I know